The reading today is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 13. That's 1,175 in the Church Bible. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, "When he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men." What does "he ascended" mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we are all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, as a church, for the start of this year, we began looking at the wonderful epistle to the Ephesians, which takes us very much to the heavenlies, gives us this wonderful perspective of God's purpose for his church. And that's what we have been learning as we've been journeying together in this wonderful letter. A few weeks ago, we began looking at the gifts of grace that the ascended Lord Jesus Christ gave to his church to prepare the church for works of service, to build it up, to bring it to spiritual maturity. Last week, we looked at the first gifts that he gave, which were particular leadership, offices, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, highlighting to us the important role of leadership within the church of Jesus Christ. Not one leader possessing or fulfilling all the leadership roles and gifting, but a plurality of and diversity of leadership. Last week we looked at the first two leadership offices mentioned, apostles and prophets. They were channels through whom the revelation of Jesus Christ was revealed through their teaching and preaching, but also recorded in Holy Scripture. Having laid the foundation of Scripture, with Jesus being the cornerstone, the offices of apostles and prophets ceased. We don't read of the apostles being replaced once the completion of Scripture, the canon, was complete. That was the end of their office as far as revealing the revelation of Jesus Christ in Scripture. Although we saw last week that the gift of prophecy continued, through which God provides words to strengthen, encourage, and comfort God's people. And we looked at examples of that taking place in the book of the Acts. We looked at the incident when God, through prophecy, that occasion when the leaders in the church and prophets, those who had that gift, were fasting and praying, and the Holy Spirit spoke through those who had that prophetic gifting, said the word, "Set apart Paul and Barnabas for service." So after meditating on it, reflecting on it, weighing it up. They believed that this was right, and they set apart Paul and Barnabas for service. We also were reflecting on that incident when God revealed to Timothy through the elders of the church. They were praying for him, and while they were praying for him, the Holy Spirit said to them to set him apart for the ministry of teaching God's word. So that was another instance of the Holy Spirit speaking, giving direction to the church to set apart Timothy and to tell him that God was giving him a teaching gift. And then we looked at another instance in the book of the Acts when Agabus, who had a prophetic gifting, forewarned the church of a coming famine so that they could be prepared to meet it when that famine came. So we see that although the office of prophets, I believe, has come to an end, the ministry of prophecy, the gift of prophecy, hasn't. And we read in 1 Corinthians that we are to desire earnestly the gift of prophecy. Certainly in my experience, I was brought up in the Brethren. They believed that the gifts of the Holy Spirit all passed away. That was what I was brought up to believe. I remember being in a Brethren home group, and I wasn't meant to be leading the group that evening. The person who was leading was away, was unable. I was leading it. There were visitors in that group that evening. And at the end of that evening, they said, look, we want to pray for you. We believe that God's going to be using you to preach and to teach and to pastor God's people. Can we pray for you about that? I said, well, I'm open for that. You're welcome to pray for me. And so they prayed. It was all very encouraging. What they prayed, I came away and I was thinking, right, okay, that's encouraging. That's spurring me on to, I never really thought of ministry. In fact, ministry didn't come into my vision really until later. It was just an encouragement to serve the Lord wherever he wanted me to be. But going away that evening, I thought, right, Lord, if this is of you, you confirm that to me. So I went home and I was reading through the letters to Thessalonians and Timothy, and a verse jumped out. Don't despise the prophetic word that has been given to you. Fan into a flame the gift that has been given to you. Right? So I took that as confirmation, and God gave opportunities for me to test that out. And I later, when I was called to the ministry, I got the confirmation of the elders that were in the church. And then we applied for the Baptist ministry. And after we had applied for ministry, there was someone came to that church who had that gift of prophecy. And he called out Cordula and myself. There were lots of people there. And it was just, he didn't know anything about my life and about God's call to the ministry. And it was confirming everything that call that we had to the ministry and lots of other things as well, which you have to test. And not all of it is, and it hasn't the authority of Scripture, but God can use that to give wisdom, to give direction, to give confirmation, and to build up his church. Otherwise, why would Scripture speak about that gift and encourage us to exercise that gift for the building up of his church? So it's an area for us to think about, to pray about, and to reflect on together. So let's look at the other leadership offices that were mentioned, that we read about this morning. Evangelists, pastors, and teachers, that's really the one office, two halves of the same ministry. Their ministry was to build upon the foundation that was laid through the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus as the cornerstone, the scripture, the completion of scripture. So we're going to look at these offices and graces that God provided to build on the foundation that was laid. So first of all, we're going to think about evangelists, the gift of evangelists. The word evangelist means a messenger of good tidings, someone who is called and gifted by God to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ to non-believers. Prophets fulfilled that role. We see that in the ministry of John the Baptist. He called the nation to repentance, and he pointed out that Jesus was the Lamb of God. That is him exercising the gift of evangelism. So he was fulfilling the ministry of evangelism in his prophetic ministry. The disciples of Jesus were called to communicate the gospel. In Luke chapter 9, we read that the 12 were sent out to preach the gospel. And then in Luke 10, we read of 70 of Christ's followers were sent out on a similar mission, sent out two by two. The apostles were called to communicate the gospel. Think about that commission that Christ gave to them before leaving them. Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations. And we see them doing that from Pentecost onwards. Think of the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 9. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. So very much the apostles had that burden as well of preaching the gospel. What about pastors? Pastors are called to share the gospel. Think of the words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy in his first pastoral letter. It contains a charge for him to do the work of an evangelist, but he was a pastor. But yes, he had also that burden to evangelize as well. And all believers have a responsibility to communicate the gospel, as expressed in the Great Commission, which all believers are to be taught to obey. And we see that response modeled in the early church. Acts chapter 4, after a remarkable prayer meeting where they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, we read that all present at the meeting spoke the word of God boldly. And I'm sure there were more than the disciples and apostles there. It says that all of them spoke the word of God boldly. I guess confirmation of that would be what happened following the scattering of the church in Acts chapter 8. As a result of the great wave of persecution breaking out against the church, we read that those who had been scattered, the apostles stayed behind in Jerusalem. So it's not them on this occasion, everyone else. The church who was scattered, all those who had been scattered, preached the word wherever they went. That tells us that sharing the gospel is a task that every believer has been called to do that. Having said that, God does call and equip particular individuals to fulfill the role of an evangelist in a greater way. And that was affirmed by Ephesians 4:11. Some are called evangelists. There's only one individual who's named as an evangelist in the New Testament. His name was Philip. Acts 21:8, Philip the evangelist.
He was one of the seven deacons. God had previously called to provide practical support for the church, and God called him to be an evangelist. And we read of Philip in Acts chapter 8, following the wave of persecution, traveling to a city in Samaria and proclaiming the Christ there to great effect. Later in the chapter, we read of Philip going on an evangelistic tour through all the towns and villages between Azotus and Caesarea, a distance of about 20 miles. And Philip didn't only preach to crowds, he was willing to travel 100 miles by foot to share the gospel with one individual, the Ethiopian eunuch. What an evangelistic heart Philip had. What a model he is to the church of an evangelist. Billy Graham, speaking in 1986 at the Second International Congress for Itinerant Evangelists in Amsterdam, reckoned that worldwide there were nearly 50,000 evangelists. However, according to the evangelist Roger Carswell, in the year 2000, in the Western world, evangelists appear to be a diminishing and often disgraced group of people. We have Christian dramatists, clowns, mime artists, and magicians. We have godly pastors and Bible teachers, as well as singers whose ministry feeds the flock of God. But where have all the evangelists gone? Where are all the people who are called by God to give their life to reaching the lost with the gospel? The church needs the leadership role of evangelist. That's something that we should be praying for. That God would set apart, would call individuals to fulfill the ministry, the office of evangelist. And then pastors. Gift of pastors and teachers. The word literally means shepherds. In Jewish society, the shepherd who tended a flock of sheep or goats held a responsible position. Great flocks had to be moved from place to place, and it was necessary that they be guarded from wild animals and robbers. Because of the fundamental role of shepherding in the ancient world, shepherd became a common term for a leader or a ruler. The king was called shepherd. In the Old Testament, God is pictured as the shepherd of Israel, concerned for every aspect of his people's welfare. Psalm 23 beautifully expresses the extent of God's shepherd care for his people, providing leadership, feeding, nurture, comfort, correction, and protection. And under the care of God, their shepherd, his people lack no good thing. That's what it tells us in Psalm 23. And we see God's shepherd care for his people most clearly, most perfectly in the life and ministry of his son, Jesus Christ, the good shepherd who cared for his sheep to the extent that he was prepared to lay down his life on a cross to save them from their sins and bring them into the fold, into the care of God. And from the throne of God, Christ continues to shepherd his people, all those given to him by his Father, and to assist him In that role, he calls pastors to be shepherds to his flock. And through God's Spirit, who indwells them, and his word, which guides them, building on the foundation of God's word, pastors are equipped to lead, to guard, to support, to love, to care, to feed, to provide for God's people. The shepherding role in the church, it's not restricted to the pastor. Elders and deacons also share in that responsibility. The important leadership gift, grace of shepherding God's people. So we see how important are the leadership offices of evangelists, pastors, teachers. And we should pray for a greater gifting and a greater equipping of the church in these leadership offices. A question for us. What is the purpose of Christ giving these leadership giftings to the church? Is it so God's people will be well led, well fed, well cared for, well spiritually? Yes, absolutely. However, that is not the goal that Paul mentions here, verses 12 to 13. The leadership giftings and graces are given so that the body of Christ are prepared and equipped for works of service. The purpose of the gifts of leadership are for the greater good and building up of the body of Christ. That's an important verse for the church of Jesus Christ. Yes, it's important to have all these leadership gifts in place, and it's important that those gifts are exercised. But an important aspect of that ministry, of those leadership giftings, is to equip the church to serve in those ways as well. For evangelists, for people with the gift of evangelism, to play a part in equipping the church to share the gospel with others, giving advice and teaching, sharing experiences, modeling how they do that. That's important. That's what God's word would want those who have those gifts to build up the body so that the body is able to exercise the gift of evangelism. And he may call them to be an evangelist, but to exercise that gift. And then you've got those who have a prophetic gifting to encourage others to seek the same gifting. Scripture says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. And to give teaching on it, how to discern God's voice, how to test it and weigh it up with Scripture and the witness of God's Spirit, and how to share that with others and to share experiences of doing that. And for pastors and teachers and elders to equip the church to shepherd and care for one another, and to share the word of God with each other. And that's the challenge for those in church leadership positions. It's very easy to say, yeah, as long as I fulfill that role, I've got a responsibility. But more, your responsibility is to equip and to build up others to exercise that gifting as well. And that's sometimes that can get lost in the busyness of ministry. And we think that, yeah, it's enough to maybe just teach God's word about it, share experiences, but this whole area of discipling and training requires more involvement and hands-on and, I guess, leading and directing. As a church, a big area of ministry that's opened up for us is the food hub. And we have a cafe, and our church is on the map in a way that it never was before. Nobody walked along that lane unless you wanted to look at some old graves or take your dog for a walk. Nobody would do that. But through the food hub, people come from a 5-mile radius into our building. Now, all of a sudden, our church is on display, the notice boards. What do we get up to as a church? But we've got volunteers here who serve in the food hub. And then God led us to open up a cafe to serve. And that opens up the whole area of ministering to people, drawing alongside with compassion and love, with an evangelistic heart, switched on, open to God's Spirit, and say, I want to connect. My big thing, I want to connect with them. But at the same time, I'm listening to God. How can I share? I need to show to them that I care. I need to demonstrate to them. But in the right way and at the right time, God will put it on your heart, to share something. And you can improve and grow in that. And it's, you know, and there are individuals here in the church who do something of that. I go along each week and I try and connect. And Linda Lumley is very good. She comes along and she sometimes sits with me and we work together and we engage with people. Ian Lowe is someone else who's very good at sharing, got a heart for reaching out. And Rose and the others who serve in the coffee, they have conversations behind the hatch and in other ways. God uses them. It might be good for us to think how we can do that better, how we can develop it, how we can develop this idea of sharing our faith in conversational ways. So it's a challenge for those in church leadership. Are we preparing the believers under our care for works of service? Are we encouraging and helping each one to serve in some way for the greater effectiveness of the church? Those offices were some, but God has given every one of us a gift. He's given us natural abilities. We should give that to God. But he can give us a spiritual gift on top of that. Timothy was given the gift of teaching. He might give you another gift to use, a gift of grace, to build up the church, to be more effective as a church in building and serving and witnessing and in ministering to one another as well. And next time we're going to consider what it means to be united in the faith.